Hello, everyone. So I'm going to be talking about a unique type of compost. Acidic compost might be useful for blueberry growers. And some of the research we did to create that product. But first, a small plug for Longwood Gardens. If you haven't been there before, we are a 1,100-acre garden just outside of Philadelphia. We're going to hit a record this year of 1.5 million visitors. So please come visit us next year when we're just an hour and a half north of D.C. So the ASHS meeting is in D.C. next year. And that was a shot of our Christmas display. This is our water lily display. That's Victoria water lilies there. Just an amazing plant. So that's my shameless plug. Now on to the research. So compost, we all really know the benefits of compost. It's pretty much ubiquitous across North America and the rest of the world, but it is a waste product made from a broad range of organic materials. As we see, we have learned today that it can provide some nutrition to plants. It can improve soil properties. You know, the addition of organic matter, flocculate soil particle, can improve drainage. It can potentially add beneficial microorganisms and also can increase soil pH. And so at Longwood, we've been a garden since really the 1920s. And so we've had gardeners applying compost, hardwood mulch, leaf mulch to garden beds for long periods of time. And they love to use compost, but now their inherent soil pH is around 7.5, 8. So applying an alkaline product to an alkaline bed is not ideal. So what we wanted to do was create compost that would not only provide them nutrition, provide them organic matter, but also address pH issues that we were dealing with across the garden. So this box here on the right-hand side, you can see that's the ideal range for ornamental plants. So when you have compost that is too high, that leads to nutritional problems down the road. And so this is why it's not ideal to grow plants directly in compost. Also, there's a lot of nutrition associated with compost, so you can burn plants when using too much. Just a little background on how we create compost at the gardens. It's three parts by weight. First, wood chips. That's from arboriculture activities. The next ingredient is what we call greens. Greens is a mixture of green plant material and food waste. So this is really variable through the year. During our busy Christmas season, we're going to have a lot more food waste in there. But during after Christmas, when we tear out all those conservatory plants, we'll have a lot more green plant material. However, this ratio within the greens does not really affect the physical and chemical products, the physical and chemical properties of our finished product. And the third ingredient is horse manure from a few local horse farms. So here is a photo of the greens, a photo of the wood chips, and horse manure. And the way we make it is we put them into this giant Kuhnite mixer. And this mixer has two augers in it that spin. So it mixes them in the early part of the process. And then there's a conveyor that opens up, or a trapdoor that opens up, and a conveyor that turns on, and that creates the windrow. And we monitor that windrow for temperature and oxygen. And when the temperature hits 160 degrees, that's when we turn it with this, it's kind of like a sidecar on the tractor that turns it. It adds oxygen, and it decreases that temperature below 160. Once the compost stops hitting 160 degrees, we let it sit for about 30 more days, and then we screen it to take out all those larger particles and to take out all the potato chip wrappers that our guests happen to throw into our compost stream from the restaurant. So we wanted to create an acidic product, and the one way you can do that is with sulfur. So this is the reaction where elemental sulfur combines with carbon dioxide, water, and basically releases these two protons or hydrogen ions, and that's what acidifies it. And this is driven by microbial action. So it takes time. It's not a passive reaction. If you put limestone on, that's a chemical reaction. Well, this involves microorganisms. So it does take a little bit of time for this process to happen. The product we use was called Dispersal. It's a pelletized elemental sulfur, and it's 90% sulfur. I believe the other 10% is just the carrier used to create those pellets. We started out with 6 sulfurates in an incubation study. This was done by, this is Mashudu here. He was an intern at Longwood Gardens at the time, and he needed to do a student project, so I got him involved with this. We replicated it 5 times in containers, and we determined our initial rates based on the recommendation in the Western Fertilizer Handbook, which shows what rates you should use to lower pH in field soils. And this is just a photograph of the incubation study. And we measured pH with the pour-through method. And if you're not familiar with that, it's a non-destructive method to measure pH. So you would irrigate this compost, wait an hour, then pour a small amount of water on top. And what that does is basically plunges out water that's been in equilibrium with the compost. And then you can test that solution to get the compost pH. And here's the results from that first study. And one thing that you'll notice here is it took a long time before any pH change happened, 30 days. And then we started to see differences in our rates. But even at our highest rate, we only got down to 5.5. So we were trying to shoot a little bit lower than that. So based on this, we thought, well, how can we get this to happen faster? And what we came up with is putting the sulfur in on the front end of the composting process. So rather than mix it in afterwards, mix it in with our feedstocks. And so we used 4 different rates, and we wanted to also look at what's going to be the impact on nutrient availability and the microbial populations. So the 4 rates range from 0 to 9.2 grams per liter of feedstocks, and then our test windrows contained 25 cubic meters or 33 cubic yards, and then for replicates, we would subsample within each of those windrows. You can see this is a smaller windrow that we made for the study. And if you look closely, this is what the sulfur looks like that's been mixed in with those feedstocks. So here's the results from that second study, and you can see that we had a strong decline in pH. I did not expect to get down this low to almost 2.8. It was rather shocking. I didn't think we would get to that point, but we found out that it works, and it works much faster than in a greenhouse setting. And part of this is likely due to the higher temperature. You should have greater microbial activity at the higher temperatures, and so that's why this is happening at a greater rate. And then we also had an increase in EC, so 13.7. If you know ornamental plants, this is well above where you want to be for all ornamental plants. And so you could never use this product straight for growing horticultural crops. So want to get into the nutrient availability. So this is plant available nutrients. This is done with a water extract, not like a Malic 3 or anything like that. So we had a strong shift in nitrogen form. So a lot of nitrate nitrogen with the higher pH. And then as we lower the pH and increase the sulfur rates, we have the shift to ammoniacal nitrogen. There was a strong influence on phosphorus and calcium availability, again, very high at the higher compost rate or the higher sulfur rates. Obviously, there's going to be a lot more sulfur in the system, but then there's also higher availability of micronutrients, boron and zinc, and aluminum. So something to consider if you were going to make one of these acidic composts and use it in field conditions, because you'd want to do soil tests on the front end to make sure you weren't going to put too much of a particular element onto your crops. Then we took a look at microbial populations. So there were shifts in different directions. We had a decrease in bacteria, a decrease in actinomyces. Overall, fungi went up, but there was a negative influence on the mycorrhizal populations. I hear a lot of anecdotal information out there on biostimulants and the value of microorganisms in the soil, and I understand that they are important, but I can't really tell you what this means. I can't tell you that because there's a higher fungal to bacterial ratio, that's going to impact plants in a specific way. And if anyone knows about that, I would love to talk to you after this, because we have a lot of people that tell me they have this great new product that's a biostimulant and it's going to change my life. But I've not seen any really hard research looking at this and showing a true effect. So for the third experiment, we really wanted to just dial this in, make sure it's repeatable. Making compost is, can be very different from seasons with ingredients. So we just wanted to test if we could repeat what had happened before. We dropped it down to 3 rates. So 0, 4.6 were the first and third rates in the second experiment, and 6.9 grams is in between the third and fourth rate. So again, trying to dial that in a little more. Pretty much the same exact experimental design. And then these were the results. So pretty similar to what we saw in the last experiment with those two rates. And then again, we came in right in between where we were the last time. So it shows that this is repeatable and that you're also going to have an increase in EC. We had a similar trends with nutrient availability. We had that strong shift from nitrate nitrogen to ammoniacal nitrogen, higher availability of phosphorus, calcium, sulfur, and also higher availability of micronutrients and aluminum. So when we finished the second experiment, we had these three different acidic composts. And so what we did to utilize those in the gardens is we mixed them all together and we let them sit for another 30 days. And then we applied it to one of our nursery beds that had a pH of 7.2. We put 4 inches on and then we subsoiled that to 2 feet and then rototilled it in to 1 foot. And it worked. It worked a little too well, I think. When we looked at this compost, you did not see those flecks of sulfur anymore. So I had thought that it had all chemically reacted at that point. But I think there's still residual sulfur existing in that compost because we did not expect to get a shift of, you know, nearly three and a half units here. So something to consider if you're going to make acidic compost. So the take home is that you can use sulfur to lower compost pH on the front end of the composting process. What we're doing right now is we make this regularly. It's available for all of our gardeners to use when they're in a situation where they want to lower pH or grow plants that prefer acid soils. So we recommend 16 grams of sulfur per liter to give you a pH of 5.2 approximately. This is not cheap to do. If you're a commercial compost producer, it would add $8 a cubic yard. So it would definitely, you'd have to add that to the cost if you were going to sell the product. So with that, I don't know if I have time for any questions. So he asks, why use a water extract rather than a malic 3 to test nutrient availability? Well, so a water extract is commonly used for greenhouse and ornamental crops. It's something that you can do in-house, and it's also non-destructive. So you don't have to take any soil out of a container to do that. So if you do a water extract, it's generally what the plant root's seeing at that time. It doesn't give you total nutrients, but it gives you more of a snapshot in time of what the plant might be seeing. Thank you.